Hey everybody, welcome back to the Niching Compass. I am Allegra Stein, and today I'm bringing you the third conversation in the 10 Questions for UMAP Coaches series. You're going to meet Gina Riley, an incredible career coach, creator of the Career Velocity process and framework, and my friend and colleague since 2019 when we became certified in UMAP together. I think you're going to find this conversation so insightful, not only in how Gina brings this particular assessment into her practice, but hearing about the breakthroughs that her clients have experienced, why she chose to start using the UMAP assessment in her own practice, and a bunch of other really fun, creative ways to support the work that we do. I hope you find it helpful, whether you're thinking about getting certified in UMAP yourself, or you just love hearing the stories of other coaches who are doing incredible work. I bring to you Gina Riley. Hello, Gina. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here. You have no idea.
I'm thrilled too. This 10 Questions for UMAP Coaches series has been so fun. And I'm so thrilled that you're a part of it because we went through our certification together.
We did. We were study buddies.
No, I love it. Love it. Love it. So again, for those of you listening, I and Gina were trained in UMAP in early fall of 2019. So we've both been using it in our respective practices for over 3 years now, and also kind of working from our own UMAPs. So it's really, really awesome to have you joining me today for the 10 questions. Tell people, just as we get started, what's kind of a quick snapshot? Tell us quickly about the work you do now.
Okay, super high level. I primarily work with leaders and executives who are either in career transition or want to evolve through a career transition, and they realize that the 1991 resume and their approach isn't going to serve them well. Yep. And it won't help them land any faster if they kind of do a DIY. So when they hire me, I'm working with them for usually 6 months to a year, working through a model I created called Career Velocity, which is nice. Like a step layered program. And I am their coach, their guide, their partner, with weekly meetings for up to 12 weeks. And then every other week or so for a while. And what we're doing is building on their story. We're getting the marketing documents ready to go, LinkedIn resume, job search, mm-hmm. strategy, interview prep, which is one of my favorite things to do.
I know.
And then leadership component. So I have a truly holistic layered approach. And what brings us here together today is I start with the UMAP.
Ah, yes. We've been talking a lot about that. All right. We'll dive into that in a second. I'm curious, what are your top five strengths?
Oh yeah. Activator, focus, individualization, significance, and restorative.
Nice.
So I have three rare strengths.
The significance,
activator and focus.
Ah. Ooh, I'm an activator too. I guess I didn't know it was rare.
Yeah, it's in the fourth quartile.
Wow. I love it. I'm a high activator too. So it's probably why we're so excited. I love when I get to pair up with activators because we like get each other amped up. I'm like, I'll activate you and you activate me and we just geek out of it. Super fun. All right. So we're going to dive into the 10 questions. They are guides. We might have a little bit offshoots, but we'll kind of, you know, we'll use them as a guide because that's what the series is about. So question number one, tell me about what was happening in your practice and in your work before you learned about and started using UMAP.
Yeah. What I was using before was I had cobbled together something that kind of resembles a UMAP, but it was at a very superficial level. So my clients were doing a worksheet, like circle what you think your top strengths are. But I didn't even understand what StrengthsFinder was because I hadn't gone through that myself.
Yeah.
Here's a value sheet. Let's talk about what are your top values. So it worked okay. Mm-hmm. But what happened was when I first saw the UMAP book and tool on the market and I read the book, I was like, I don't know if this whole UMAP thing's going to resonate with leaders and executives. It just sounded like it just didn't sound like a fit. Mm-hmm. So I kind of sat on it for a year and I kept seeing posts from Kristen Sherry and seeing all the commentary. So I went back and I read it. And this is like another year I'm into my practice and it clicked. I was like, oh, this is a holistic tool that I can use for that quick snapshot and I'm going to get it all without having to use this cobbled together sort of, it felt like very makeshift. And now with the tool, I have the confidence to say, I can get after your unique value proposition if we use this tool together.
That's awesome. That's not an uncommon story. I've heard similar of like practitioners who were using different assessments really enjoyed having even just like a values worksheet, right? Or mm-hmm. what are you really good at, and trying to have them answer those questions. And I love that idea of like it was cobbled together. And then when you saw that you might kind of brought it all together in one space, I that makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely. And what I would say too, right here on the front end of our conversation together, so people clearly understand this, is Kristen's devised this tool with four pillars of career satisfaction.
Right.
So we learn how we do what we do with our strengths. We learn why what we do with our values. We learn what we do with our motivated skills and burnout skills. And then we learn who we are, which is the personality assessment, which I believe is the careers related Holland.
Yes.
Here's the thing. When I talk to other coaches and they poo-poo the idea of getting certified in the UMAP, what I let them know, because they're certified in other things. Well, I have DISC, I have Insights, I have MBTI, Myers-Briggs. And I'm like, that is one pillar
right.
of career satisfaction. And frankly, when it comes to career transition, I am leaning the least on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't care if you're an introvert or extrovert or any of that other stuff. That's not what you're going to use when you're positioning yourself for a job. You're going to infuse the language of how you do what you do and why you
yep.
do what you do and the things that you really love to do.
Yes.
That's what I'm using. So if you're a coach out there considering the UMAP, please know that those other assessments are less likely to get after what you might need to help your client advance.
That's an amazing distinction. That's awesome. And I also just want to kind of flag this, and I've said it on other podcasts. If you hear Gina or I reference Kristen or Kristen Sherry, she designed and developed UMAP. So when you hear UMAP coaches talking, you're like, oh, and Kristen made this thing. It's Kristen Sherry. She wrote a book about it, which you can check out. The book was my entry point into it. I'm like, oh, I'll read this book about it. And once I read it, then I thought, oh, now I want to use this tool, which is why I signed on. So
I totally agree with that. And I would say she won a Career Innovator Award in 2020 for the tool.
Yes, I know. It's an awesome resource, and like you and me, we can geek out about it, these conversations.
Yeah.
Okay. So number two, and you've already touched on this a little bit, but why did you make the decision then to get certified? I mean, every certification we consider involves an investment of time and attention and money and resources and participation and energy. So why did you finally make the decision to get certified in UMAP? Was it an easy choice? You know, what kinds of things, you know, did you consider during that decision-making process?
Yeah, I won't reiterate what I already said. Sure. I'll just amplify, which is it's holistic. It's a holistic tool that gives me a snapshot completely of an individual. Mm-hmm. What I would say in addition is the investment was at a price point that I could not only afford, but I could really buy into, because Kristen is so generous that she does not have her coaches recertify every year and give her more money once they've already been certified in the tool, because we're all using it for different reasons and purposes. And she gives us all access to any upgrades that she makes, and has monthly coaching calls to support everyone in their endeavors.
That's
so
right.
It's such a generous community to join. And once you understand what you're buying into, the investment more than pays off for itself if you can use that tool in your practice.
Yep, 100%. And even while there are this group of trainers who train in it, anyone who goes through a training, whether with me or another trainer or Kristen, becomes a part of that UMAP community and gets that ongoing support, access to all the updates. It's part of kind of the wider UMAP ecosystem. And again, you're not the first person to reiterate how generous the just the scope of being in the UMAP community is.
Absolutely. I mean, we've made these really neat collegial professional relationships. Like you and I, like we don't talk regularly, but I just have this warm feeling about you because we're part of something that we can, you know, we're part of together. And you and I both have people we can refer others to based on their niche.
Yes.
You know, like we've got Lori Knutson. If someone comes in and says, oh, my high school student is applying to college, or I have a college student who's doing, you know, trying to figure out their positioning for jobs, that's not me. Mm-hmm. That's Lori. So I'm going to refer people there and so on. I mean, we have this whole ecosystem around the world of qualified people to help.
Yep. That's awesome. Oh, I love it. All right. Number three, and you kind of, again, also touched on this, but I'll ask because it's number three on the list. How would you explain what UMAP is to someone who's never heard of it before?
Yeah, I do think I covered it. It's the how we do what we do, why we do what we do, what we do, and who we are. Mm-hmm. And so I think I kind of covered it just so I don't bore people with the same thing, but it's holistic. I cannot double down more on it's holistic.
Yep.
That's why it's not one thing. It's multifaceted.
Yep. That's awesome. So what were some of your biggest insights as a result of your training? Like how did it personally impact you? Mm-hmm. Just what was the impact just of going through it yourself?
Oh my gosh. It was really profound because on one hand, and I have found this with other coaches I've referred to get the certification. I've mm-hmm. referred four people that have mm-hmm. gone on certifications. And typically the first reaction when they hear about the tool is a lot of curiosity. And they're like, well, I already have these other certifications. I already have the DISC. I already have Myers-Briggs or Enneagram or what have you. So for me, I hadn't done StrengthsFinder either, surprisingly. Yeah. So it was the marriage of a couple of the things. The StrengthsFinder helped me with my branding. It helped me articulate how I do what I do best. And it helps me attract the right kind of client. And it helps me repel people that would be a waste of each other's time.
Wow.
So if people are not interested in what I have to offer as an activator with focus, who individualizes and customizes for every single client, and I help them with their significance, then we're not a fit. And that's okay. And I'm contracting with people for up to a year. I mean, we're texting buddies, we're emailing, we're on Zoom all the time. We get to know each other. And I can't afford in my life to have a client that is going to, you know, keep me up at night because we don't get along.
Right. Yeah.
It helps me get centered on who I am, what I'm presenting out in the world. And it also amplified the values that make, you know, why am I doing what I do in the world? And one of my top things is making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I am using my significance and amplifying the things that I think are important in life.
Yeah.
So I guess I would explain my insights as being, you know, something where I could really be self-reflective, understand how to integrate the tool into my own language. Then I have the skill and ability to help draw that out of other people.
I've been thinking about this a lot, that how it there's so many different layers to it that I truly think that the most impactful coaches learn how to use their unique gifts to help their clients maximize theirs.
Yes.
Right. It's like this, we use our gifts to help our clients find and use their gifts. And it's this really powerful cycle. And I love to, I really want to appreciate how you point out how knowing about yourself and going through the training helped you get clear on who your best clients are and that filter. It's so important. I think it's very confidence building too.
Well, for a lot of the people that are listening to this podcast, it's likely they're entrepreneurs or they have a coaching business. They may be a coach inside of a company as well. And, you know, I learned stuff all the time, but I learned something in the last couple of weeks from this awesome leadership coach. And so shout out to Dana Williams. She's mm-hmm. a former Southwest Airlines like leadership coach. She's a guru. She's amazing. StrengthsFinder guru. And I was on a mastermind type of call. And she was challenging people to look at their top strengths and figure out how or why they aren't using those on themselves.
Yeah.
And like the parts of my business that where I have skill demotivation and where I really want to be using my time, I started to look at my strengths differently about how I wasn't applying them to myself. I wasn't activating really myself with focus on the things that were important to me. And it was just this whole mindset shift where I was like, oh, that's really cool idea.
That's great. Oh, it's so like, it just goes so many layers deep. I love it. Okay. Number five, this is where I really like to find out some of the concrete results because, you know, it's helpful for people to we can talk all day about some of the internal shifts and I want to hear more about those too, but I'd love to know in what specific ways did your practice change or evolve as a result of starting to use UMAP? So those could be external variables, maybe in the clients you were working with, opportunities, or it could be internal as well, just your own confidence in your own coaching, your coaching style. But can you give some specific examples of how things changed as a result of starting to use this tool?
For me, I would have to lean on the internal. It was the internal confidence to articulate the value I was bringing using the tool. I think any tool that we have in our kit bag is, we shouldn't rely on that to attract the ideal client. Like people aren't looking us up on Gina Riley Consulting going, is she UMAP certified? Does she have StrengthsFinder? You know, I kind of roll my eyes like at that kind of idea because I just don't think that the general population is seeking us out with that. I just don't. Maybe they do. But for me, it's more, I get that ideal client in front of me or someone that we're working through a strategy call, and I'm able to so easily and quickly articulate what they're going to get because I have the tool in my kit bag.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. I mean, and that the results of that level of confidence and clarity translates into some of the more tangible things in ways we don't even realize until we're on the other side of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And people don't want to hire a coach who's sort of like unsure about what the outcomes will be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important that we're explaining the outcome. And especially if we're doing more, you know, life coach or that kind of consulting, and it's not, you know, we're not telling people what to do. They have to feel like they're going to get the value that you're explaining.
Yeah.
Sort of that whimsical space. In my opinion, I am getting people hard concrete outcomes.
Yes.
Because the way that I use the tool, and this might be in one of your other questions, the way I use the tool is the folks are taking this, they're taking the UMAP, they're getting their certifications. I have 7 videos on my private website where they work through homework. They listen to me explain, you know, what is the StrengthsFinder? Now go journal on it. So
okay.
Need to spend like an hour and a half getting the UMAP done, then another 2 hours doing that. I do a 2-hour debrief on Zoom. I record it. And then behind the scenes, I go spend 5 hours synthesizing what they have said, integrated with all their strengths. And then I read it back to them in a first person narrative. And it turns out to be like a page to a page and a quarter. It's one thing to get Gallup's StrengthsFinder response, you know, on what that is. Oh, I'm an activator. Oh yeah, that sounds like me. It sounds exactly like me.
Yeah.
It's a whole nother thing when I'm using their exact words on how they activate and integrate it into a narrative.
Wow.
And the result and outcome that I get from that with people, not all the time, but some of the time, they're reaching for tissue because they're overcome with emotion. Because they haven't heard and seen themselves in that light before.
Yeah,
I've had men and women well up and get emotional. I had a chief marketing officer who grew a consumer products brand over 20 years from 40 to 400 million, can brand the heck out of a product. But when he heard how he could be talking and branding himself, he sat back and took a breath.
That's amazing. I'm glad you went there. And actually, let's stay here for a second. We're going to jump from Question five to question seven, which we'll come back to six, but question seven was, in what ways are you using UMAP in your practice? So you shared a little bit about that, whether, you know, it's different containers and how are you currently using it? So are there other, one of the things that I'm really excited to talk about with the coaches that go through the training is like how to bring this tool into our work. And I had someone ask me like, so if I get certified in UMAP, do I have to use it a certain way? And I kind of like being like, no, like you, there's so many different ways you can use this assessment.
Oh yeah.
Again, depending on someone's strengths, like they're going to change how they use it. So are there other, it sounds like you use it obviously as an entry point. You do this incredible debrief and then reflective writing exercise. Are there any other ways you're using it currently or have that you just want to share?
I do. I consistently use it with every single client that I work with. And sometimes I will do, because I do a program and I can do two things standalone. There's only two plug outs that I will do because I am outcome focused. Okay. So I don't do a resume. I partner with resume writing companies. People pay me and I bring in my partner and they get a perfect. Some of the best resume writers in the world are working with me. But I can do a UMAP and a debrief and do a synthesis because it will give them an outcome.
Yeah.
I can do interview prep because I can get people an outcome. So I'm outcomes driven that way. But how else am I using it? The pandemic hit, so it really stymied doing workshops and right. But before the pandemic hit, I did a team UMAP where everyone went off and did the UMAP. We had a debrief. Everyone explained their top strengths, values, and so on. Poster paper up on the walls.
Amazing.
And then we had a conversation about it. And what happened is the people in the room were like, oh, I see when I ask you to do XYZ that you bristle because I'm rubbing up against one of your top values.
Yes.
I get it now. And we looked at their motivated and demotivated skills or, you know, the burnout skills, and they went, oh, I like doing that. I could trade you some of the things that I do. It was so beautiful. So that's one. Two, I used it virtually, which was like, it just killed my heart because I want to be in person
as a facilitator.
But I worked with Silver Oak Winery. They had, during the pandemic, done a survey, created a women's group, and they were really trying to like amplify their voices, step into their own power, if you will. So what I did was I customized a training where we talked about executive presence and all the elements of executive presence and how you can really show up better and more confidently. And we also used the UMAP and then did breakout rooms where people went and discussed the strengths and so on. It wasn't the same as like what I could do in person for like a day or two, but I think that people got value in having at least a chance to talk about it versus getting it, hearing someone talk at them and then put it in a drawer that they forget about forever.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh. I love those examples. Are you still open looking for, do you enjoy opportunities like that? Like,
oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I would be open. I would particularly love to be hired as a facilitator to design and customize something specifically for an organization or a corporate group. And come in and do a facilitated thing. And I know I can get outcomes with that. I know I can bring people together, especially when people don't understand each other. The thing that drives me the most crazy, Allegra, is when I reflect back, when I was at Intel and I got tons of awesome training there. And it was a great, you know, a great 10 years of my life. You know, we did the Myers-Briggs and I'd already done it multiple times at that point in my early 20s. So we were sitting in a training room and I'm sitting next to my manager who I really liked, but we were very different in our approach. And we didn't always like see eye to eye. We didn't argue, but we just didn't quite work together. Awesome.
Yeah.
When we looked at the Myers-Briggs and she looked over at my results, she went, Oh, I get it. I get why I'm not landing when I ask you to do things a certain way. So the other thing about getting those results only with the personality is there's something in there that we don't want to show other people because it's embarrassing or it's not true or we don't identify with it. So I'm looking at the Myers-Briggs and I'm like, well, I don't do that most of the time or even some of the time. When I'm working with my clients and they bristle at part of the personality assessment, and that's the Holland.
Yes.
I tie it back to the strengths.
Yes.
Values, and I'll say, what's not resonating for you here? We redline it and we go back and I'll say, that's because you are a whatever. You're an activator. So that's not true. You don't drag your feet or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. But that's, again, yes, open to doing these facilitated sessions, because I think people get so much more out of it than just doing a personality assessment.
That's great. Yeah. I describe it. It's almost like a choose your own adventure. It's like one of the fascinating parts of this particular tool is that it's not just one facet. It's four, right? So it's not just personality, it's strengths, values, skills, and personality-based interests. And you can, when you're working with teams or individuals or pairs, and there's any kind of misunderstanding or confusion, you can kind of, and as a skilled facilitator, you can kind of say, you know, let's actually look at this through this angle. What if we looked at it through skills? And if for whatever reason, and usually it lands, usually you hit on something and people start to have those aha moments. But if for some reason they're like, no, I don't think that's it, you can say, well, what about values? Like you can come around this other angle and find what it is that will crack the stuckness. And from there, it just gives so many options, I think, as a coach and facilitator, to not just have one thing that you can use to kind of help people see things. You can actually come at it from lots of different angles.
I love that idea of like the unstuckness. You can get people unstuck. And I have an awesome story to kind of amplify that is, so when I first got my UMAP certification, I was nervous, you know, obviously, because it was a new tool to use. So I first started with my own family. I did my 17-year-old at the time, my, you know, 19-year-old, my husband. And then I did the whole talents group executive search team, who I'm also affiliated with. So we all did the, you know, everyone did their UMAP. I did a private debrief with everyone. One of my teammates, one of her top values is freedom.
Okay.
Freedom. And we need to know what that means for each person, because freedom might mean something different to you or me. Yep. So freedom to her means don't box me in. Don't tell me exactly how to do my work. I know how to do my job. So if you like plug me into this certain mode, I'm going to resist. I'm going to have resistance and I'm going to feel it and I'm going to, you know, whatever. When we kind of put words around that, and then, you know, I was speaking, you know, speaking to the CEO and saying, hey, this is something to know about, you know, your employee. Made so much sense. Like, to not go in with that individual and then over communicate, over that person into exact processes, or let that person develop the processes that work efficiently for them. Mm-hmm. And so it's like one of my favorite stories, because just putting the values out there and putting words around the one word could alter this relationship and make it so much better.
That's awesome. Oh my gosh. You've just like you answered in advance question number 8, which was about asking for a specific client moment. So I'm like, this is perfect. We're hitting all the questions. Let's see where we're at.
I have more. I have another one. And I just did a LinkedIn post a couple days ago on this. My first customer, unpaid, was my son, Addison Riley, and he was applying to colleges. He's 17 during the pandemic. So we're doing the UMAP, and we come up with all of his the language about his strengths. By the way, also 3 rare strengths. He's got command even.
Oh, command's a fun one.
Oh, right. Yeah. So he gets his results back and he's so funny. He's like, oh, I knew there'd be something like this, you know, like I knew I'd be different, because he's always felt, I think, different.
Okay.
So we go through it and we get this great language. So fast forward, a couple months later, he's doing college applications.
Yeah.
And what does it say in the college applications? It's essay questions with, why are you unique and special? Why should we admit you into our college? How are you going to add to our diverse set of perspectives here?
Yes.
That sits somebody back at age 17. You're like, what the heck? He's like, Mom, it's all here in my UMAP.
Yes, 100%.
It's right here. He just went and translated that into short form essay questions. It was awesome.
That is brilliant. Oh, I love that so much. So
now
tangible.
Junior, He's a junior. He applied to, you know, his, the co-op intern program, got accepted. He's doing, you know, he's got me for interview prep. So he's got his UMAP. He's training all of his roommates how to interview. They all make it in, you know.
That is so exciting. Oh my gosh. I love those two stories. Oh, this is so great. Okay. So we went from 5 to 7 to 8. We're going to come back to 6 really quick and then jump over to 10.
Okay.
Number 6 was, how would you say UMAP as an assessment tool is different from other certifications? Because again, there's so many options out there, and a lot of assessments are very powerful. You have hit on this in a couple of ways, but how would you just say it's different from other certifications you have, maybe in a way that you haven't expressed yet?
Yeah. I won't reiterate the four pillars.
Yep. We know, right. The holistic
lockdown, right? Okay. So I'm going to, the other certifications I've had in my past is, behavioral interviewing, which is not the same as these kinds of things. It's a training program, on how to craft effective questions, how to probe, and how to like assess skills.
Nice.
Which I'm a huge proponent of. And, Talents Group has their own take. We do a 6-hour training using that, the methodologies. The other certification I've had in the past is William Bridges Transition Management, which is very powerful for people. We used it in corporate and Intel to help people move through that psychological and internal transition that happens when you're told you're being redeployed, your job's no longer valid, we may have something inside, or we're letting you go, here's a package. There's a lot of things that happen there. They're not even remotely similar to like these other things.
Sure. Yep. Yeah. It's been really interesting, exploring the difference between like learning how to administer and debrief someone on a tool and then how to use that tool as part of your coaching.
Right.
And those programs you've been through sound like they really focused on that art of coaching and inquiry and conversation and moving someone through, and then bringing UMAP in as an assessment, like complements and almost like enriches that skill set you have had previously developed on how to actually guide someone through a transition and a change.
I think you're right. I hadn't thought of it that way. Yes.
Right. It's a fascinating distinction, and one I think is super powerful to consider as like a practitioner, is the role that different skill sets play with our clients and how to combine them, which is what you're doing. You're taking all of these skill sets plus the information from UMAP to just, it's very impactful.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. It's awesome. Okay. Number 9. Oh, I forgot about number 9. So there, as I've mentioned, there are likely people who are listening who are considering getting certified. It's, you know, I think it's really important for people to consider whether something is or is not a fit. I really like keeping that open. And I would love to know, what do you think it's important for other coaches, leaders, you know, managers to know in order to decide if bringing UMAP into their practice would be a fit?
Yeah. What I'm trying to do is reverse engineer this and think, where would it be a waste of time or money?
I know.
Yeah. I mean, so it's, it
very
would be
hard for
someone
me
who really, I wouldn't do it, I guess, if I didn't think that I could apply it in some way, somewhere. I could even be a volunteer at my church or my school, or fill in the blank. You could have a certification and be offering your wisdom and your ability to bring people and teams and groups together.
Yeah.
I could even see, let's say a mid-level manager, let's say I'm an engineering manager at an Intel or mid-level manager at a Nike, you go get this certification. Now you can use it to become a better people leader.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many applications to this. So I would only shut this down, I guess, is if you're just somehow doing it to go through some motions and you're not willing to integrate it for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, that would be a waste, I guess.
That's awesome. I love it. I'm similar. I'm like, I'm having a hard time kind of coming up with like, who would this not be a fit for? And because I just think it has so many applications.
Yeah.
There's just so many creative ways that it could be used.
I mean, if anything, people just can do a UMAP for themselves, not get certified, to at least figure out how they can explain how they move about in the world for themselves. And then if that makes them curious, then the certification can be like a good next step.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And now question 10, which is a little bit open. So question 10 is there something you were hoping to cover or a question you were hoping to answer that I did not ask?
Your questions are awesome. I mean, I honestly can't think of anything because you and I wove in and out of many of them. If I was going to put
it's been awesome.
If I could put an end cap on this, and I'll put a plug back to like, even just taking the UMAP and having like your family take it like I did,
mm-hmm.
I wished I could have had like my sons, even my husband, but my sons taking this a little bit earlier on so I could understand their strengths and values better. I believe I could have been a better parent,
mm-hmm.
understanding that I was working up against their natural talents and working up against their natural value, you know, the values, what was important to them, because I was overlaying my own on top of them. And I think we all make that mistake as a parent, unless you're like God's gift to parenting. so, you know, being certified amplifies my ability to pivot and communicate, not just with my own family, but to look more deeply into other people that I interact with, and
yep.
and I'm much more curious and less judgmental initially when I consider other perspectives. And as a, and if people are listening and you're a leader of people, you're a coach or what have you, I mean, the top skill to develop is your ability to listen
mm-hmm.
and probe and stay curious.
Most definitely. And if there are any parenting coaches listening, if you want to do parenting coaching, Gina just really highlighted like why it's so like any kind of relationship coaching and development.
Yes.
I think UMAP is a must have as a starting point because it's
so good for therapists.
It's really awesome. Thank you for wrapping on that note. But before we leave, I want to find out, and I want you to share where people can learn more about you, because for those who've been listening, who might be one, have a need for the kind of group facilitation that you're providing or the one-on-one mm-hmm. services that you offer, like where can they learn more? Give us all the details.
Give you the deets.
Yep.
I would love to have a chance to do some more facilitation now that the pandemic is, you know, by and large, we'll say past.
Yeah.
People can find me at Gina Riley Consulting.
Okay.
I have a green button at the top that you can click on. You can download a webinar that's 30 minutes long. It comes with a free workbook, and you can actually start to develop a career transition plan.
Amazing.
Based on the information I give in that. So it's absolutely free. There's no strings attached, and it follows my model of career velocity. And so it helps people get an image of the gaps and the holes they might have in their process. And of course, I start with the first question: do you know and understand your strengths, your unique talents, and can you explain them? And I go from there.
Awesome. And LinkedIn?
Oh yeah. If you heard me on Allegra's podcast, send me a personalized connection request. You have to click connect and then send a message. And on your phone, you have to intentionally do it. But say you heard us and I'd love to connect with you. A lot of times we get sales pitches these days on LinkedIn. And so I want a healthy, strong network. And so I really pay attention to every single one that I get.
I love that. Yeah. So for those of you who are active on LinkedIn, if you send a connection request to someone, there's a little button that says add a note, you know, mm-hmm. on the phone. Maybe there's a different one, but always click that. Always add a little note
always.
And personalize it and make it like legit and real, because it can really impact. If you're looking to create genuine connections, it's a little extra
huge.
Step you can take.
It's huge. I can't tell you how many I don't connect with, largely because the headline starts with I help coaches maximize and create their funnel.
I get this
no.
all the time.
No, thank you. Day. Or hey Gina, your profile looks really interesting. You look like you're doing amazing things. Like
yeah, you can tell when they're kind of they're definitely out of the box.
Yeah.
All right. Well, awesome. I'm hoping that people connect and This has been so awesome. Thank you for sharing your story and your reflections. I think people will have found it incredibly insightful and helpful. And I really appreciate
it. I hope
it.
So. I will be sharing this because people ask me. And so this was such a good, like, quick rundown.
Right? That's what I want it to be. I want it to feel like it's something that people can learn about you as well. So thank you.
Thanks, Allegra.
All right. Talk soon. Thank you again to Gina for being a part of this conversation series. You can learn more about her work over at ginarileyconsulting.com or connect over on LinkedIn, where I hope you'll drop her a note and let her know that you've heard our podcast together. And if you're interested in getting certified to use UMAP as part of your own coaching practice, check out umapwithallegra.com and get on the early notification list. That cohort begins April 24th and seats become available on March 1st. On February 14th, I'm hosting a super informal and fun information and Q&A session. You'll also get those details if you sign on to the email list. And I'm here to answer your questions anytime if you ever want to reach out and say hello. Thanks so much for being here. I hope you're finding these conversations inspiring, and I'll see you again next time.